This show is brought to you by Skylight Frames. Skylight Frame is more than just a photo frame. It's a magical way to keep loved ones close, no matter the distance. With Skylight, you can share the joy of a special moment, a silly snapshot, or a treasured memory instantly, making it the perfect present for anyone who values connection and family. So, there's no better way to put a smile on your loved one's face than to share a special photo, whether it's a glimpse of the kids being silly, a magical moment from vacation, or a sentimental memory from years past. Skylight Frames brings your favorite memories to life right in your home. It's for everybody that's tech savvy or not. You can share it with grandparents and parents. It's a life-changing new way to connect with family, especially for those who aren't keen on smartphones. It's got a simple, user-friendly design that makes it perfect for parents and grandparents, and they can be able to enjoy the magic of seeing new photos appear instantly, making it easy to connect without the need for complicated technology. However, if you are one who loves a little tech-savvy extra pizzazz, there is Skylight Plus, and their software offers advanced features that enhance the experience. A couple of standout features are the doodles, where you can draw on a picture on your app and it appears directly on the loved one's Skylight frame, picture perfect. You can also do greeting cards as another feature, where you can choose from 100 of designs and send an interactive card that appears on the frame, creating special moments for birthdays, holidays, or why the fuck not, just because. It's beloved by millions, with close to 2 million frames sold across 34 countries and over 675 million photos and videos shared. Skylight Frames is a tried and true way to stay connected with family and friends. So this holiday season, give the gift that keeps on giving memories, whether it's for a grandparent who adores seeing their grandkids' latest antics or a friend who loves capturing every moment. The Skylight Frame is the perfect gift to bring joy and connection into any home. It's easy to use. It's a very quick setup, and it can get you right away with instant sharing. There is no need for an app or subscription, and it's only 1 minute to set it up real quick. Skylight is designed to be easy for all ages because you can simply plug in the frame and you're ready to start sharing memories. It's got an intuitive touchscreen display. It's a 10-inch color touchscreen that allows for easy interaction, letting you pinch and be able to edit the photos and fit it into frame, which is solid, makes it effortless. There's also a gift mode, which is the ultimate surprise. You can preload your favorite photos before gifting the Skylight frame. And when your loved ones plug in their new frame, they'll be welcomed with special memories right off the bat, ready for immediate enjoyment. It's very easy to share. You can invite family and friends to join in on the fun. Photos can be shared easily via the free Skylight mobile app or email. No account or subscription required, making it simple for everyone to contribute to the frame. And it's got an offline mode as well, so you can stay connected even without Wi-Fi. Enjoy viewing your existing photos without any Wi-Fi connection. And when you are connected, new photos can be received in under 60 seconds, keeping your frame up to date with the latest memories. It is better than social media because it is a great private way to share photos without posting them to the world or going out of your way to print hard copies. It's a top-rated brand, over a million happy customers, thousands of five-star reviews, and it's available in over 30 countries. It's been recommended by the Today Show, Forbes, New York Magazine, and more. It looks beautiful in your home, having photos displayed in HD resolution, and you can choose from 5 different frame styles to set it up, and you can put it in either portrait or landscape mode. And also, it is satisfaction guaranteed because they're confident that you'll love Skylight. We even offer a free 120-day return. So for a limited time, get 20% off your purchase of a Skylight frame when you go to ca.skylightframe.com/hockey. That's right. To get 20% off your Skylight frame, just go to ca.skylightframe.com/hockey. That's ca.skylightframe.com/hockey. And now welcome to the Blazing Pucks Podcast.
Oh, shit.
Ladies and gentlemen, I am your host, Victor Manuel.
And I am your other host, Carmichael Manfredi. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you so much for tuning in to another episode of the Blazing Pucks podcast, the Canucks podcast you listen to when your kids are not around, and that's probably because you're a good parent. Victor, how are you doing, brother?
You're a good parent who doesn't surround your kids with audios that say, fuck, shit, cock, balls, ass, titties, wipe. They're probably listening to Baby Shark, doo-doo-doo-doo-doo. I'm doing phenomenal, though, brother. How are you doing?
I would have guessed from that last comment you just made. My word. Holy.
Holy. Like, where the fuck did you go with that one?
Yeah, wow. Well, I mean, I'm doing good. I'm not doing that good, though.
Okay. Oh, my God. Denny's parking lot. So,
yeah. You know,
it's a great way to relieve stress.
Apparently, man. There's a lot of entertainment in that parking lot. That's for sure, man. But speaking of a lot of entertainment, been quite the roller coaster here in Canucks land, but a lot of great stuff to talk about.
Holy shit, man. This roller coaster literally has moments where, like, I'm on top of the world and then I want to die. Like,
yeah.
This team has ADHD because they're so consistent at being inconsistent.
That is a perfect way to say it from two ADHD folks over here. It's 100% true. They have games where, I mean, they beat two of the last, what, three or four Stanley Cup champions, like, convinced, yeah. You know, with all due respect, Demko should have deserved that shutout. Quinn Hughes wasn't that great late in the game there, but realistic that, you know, they allowed one goal against both of those teams, but then you drop 5-1 to the Bruins, who beat you in the Stanley Cup final. So that kind of hurts.
Absolutely. I feel like the Bruins is one of the teams that you don't really want to lose to, especially at home.
Yeah, they're the new Rangers for sure.
Without a doubt, they are the new Rangers. But yeah, there is so much to unpack. You know, there's a lot to talk about with the on-ice product. And as crazy as this may seem, well, not crazy, we're used to this as Canucks fandom. There's so much to, like, even touch on off the ice with all the shit that's been going on. But, you know, I think where I'd like to at least start is let's go into the Florida game, because I think the Florida game is a great example of a team that, yeah, we were kind of having, like, mixed bag. Like, we had some two shitty losses beforehand, and we finally played a game that felt like the identity that we had on the ice last year.
Exactly.
Right? We were forechecking hard. We were able to stay tight to the system, able to defend really well and not give Florida any opportunity or chance to really create and get themselves set up. And that game was the Max Sassen show.
Exactly. He really showed up, and he's like exactly like Talk had said about him. I mean, he's taking every opportunity and fighting this to keep his spot in the lineup.
He is. You know what I also like? I like the fact that he wasn't even one of the rookies that we paid attention to or had an eye on.
Exactly. Like, I know we mentioned him for sure, like rookies that stood out, but I think he was on the bottom of that list. Like, we had Baines, obviously, and we had Lekkermäki, understandably. I remember that. But, Rocky. I mean, he kind of flew off the radar. But, I mean, how do you not love a story like that? You know what I mean? Sorry, I'm having trouble. I'm trying to fucking adjust my mic screen here, and it's in my face. Can't quite get it. So it's coming off.
It's coming off.
Yeah, and it's hard not to cheer. Undrafted, and, you know, he is doing everything that he can to stay in the lineup. He's adjusting his game. He's making some great passes. And he was rewarded last night. He was on the line with Pettersson.
Yeah, absolutely. He got time with the DeBrusk and Petey line. I thought he brought some good energy. Unfortunately, I didn't get to watch the game live or, like, throughout it, so I only saw the highlights. Unfortunately, there's only so much that the highlights show you.
Exactly. But
from everything that I read and looked into it, he brought speed to that line. And that's the one thing I really like about Max Sassen during especially that Florida game. He brought a lot of, like, because he was on the line with Heinen and Bluger, I believe.
That's correct, yes.
Yeah. And, like, that was the line that got things going. I mean, freaking two goals from that line. With Max Sassen's, what he brings to that is just, like, it's not, I would say tenacity, but I feel like tenacity isn't the right word. Like, he just has this edge to him, to his speed, to the way that he makes quick cuts, makes wicked passes. And yeah, he's the last thing I would have expected for a player to be showing up like this when he wasn't really high on the prospect radar coming into this season.
Totally. Totally. And there's something about those players that are undrafted. And we'll get into this when we talk about Kiefer Sherwood, just like obviously the title says. But these players, like, they know what it was like when they didn't make it. They know how they felt, how shitty they felt when they weren't drafted or, you know, passed over or what have you. So when they get to a spot like they've been, you know, for Sherwood and for someone like Sasson, when they get into the spot, I mean, they're, first of all, they're a lot more, I guess, grateful. I hate using that word, but
that's true.
For lack of a better one, we'll go with it.
Yeah.
Yeah, the tenacity. I think that's the right word. Like, not quite the tenacity of like a JT Miller where he throws his body into everything, but he's tenacity in the sense of focusing on the details that Rick Tocchet is looking for.
Yeah, and you can tell the one thing I'm really liking about not just Max Sasson, but any prospect that's coming up from Abbotsford is that whether they're shining or not, they're really fitting into the system. Like, they don't look like they're playing lost, like a chicken with their head chopped off. They're freaking being able to know and read where the puck's going to go, know where they kind of need to go when it comes to the puck moving along the boards, the way how they back check. Like, that is really nice to see that coming from Abbotsford, period. But you see a lot of that more, like you mentioned, the details. You can tell that Max Sasson is literally putting his all into the details that is being asked of him. And he's got a wicked skill set of a speed. Like, his speed is the biggest thing that really, like, blows me away.
100%. Yeah. He knows where to be and he knows where to go. And he's fast. I mean, that's, you have that in your pocket. I mean, you more oftentimes than not, you're going to succeed.
It's really true.
Right. So a question I got for you though,
Okay.
We're talking about bringing these guys up from Abbotsford and they fit into the system. How much of that do you think has to do with Tocchet's system or just the system in general, we'll call it? And how much of that do you think is on the Canucks management staff for being able to identify the right guys to fit that system?
That's a really good question. Fuck you.
Yeah, we were too serious there for a second. Fuck you too.
I know, we get into like our little analytical mode where we're like, yeah, which is, I like it, that's great, a nice little blend. But no, that is actually a good question. I would say a part of me feels like I would give the edge. That is tough. I feel
it's
like
tough,
I would,
right?
It is. One side of me says I want to give the edge to the system, right? The coaching system and the staff. Not just Tocchet, but of course, you know, the alignment with Manny Malhotra, the Sadiq, like everything that's associated with the coaching staff, period. Yes. Because, yes, while it's nice that the management is able to, you know, get an insight and a perspective on, you know, picking out prospects to bank on, to take a shot on, you know, I don't think it's them finding the hidden gems in the rough that's helping our Abbotsford players be noticeable when they get NHL time. I genuinely do think that it's the coaching staff with how they're running the show, not in just the Canucks, but I'm mainly thinking about Abby too.
Yeah.
I think, I don't know where I heard this, but I heard that, I think it must've been on like a Halford and Brough, maybe one of the guests, but how players in Abbotsford, like whenever they get called up to the NHL, they play for a bit and then they get sent back down. A good chunk of the times, you know, players are going to get hurt, right? They're going to be like, oh man, they're going to be bummed. They're going to be upset about it. They're going to feel like they blew their chance, or, you know, maybe some entitlement behavior where thinking that they didn't deserve to go down, blah, blah, blah. But nothing like that is coming from any of our farm players from Abbotsford. If anything, they're coming back with a good attitude because then they know what they need to work on from the NHL standpoint, and they know they have a good coaching and support system to work on that and develop that in Abbotsford so that for whenever their next shot comes up, they're ready and they have a good attitude towards it. That, while again, you know, management deserves their brownie points for finding these type of players and helping shift the culture, I think it's the coaching staff that's really implementing this all and making them help, like helping them reach their potential more in what we're seeing right now from that. That's my opinion. What do you think?
No, I mean, fuck your opinion, but it's a good one. I'll give you that. I'm giving you a lot of credit. For
East.
Fucking all the above, I guess. Yes. Yes is the correct answer. I'm of a similar mind to you, but I'm going to give a little bit more kudos to the management staff. And the reason that I say that is because when a guy hasn't worked out, he's gone.
Yeah,
exactly. Right. When they see somebody where the just like they're doing with DeHarné right now, right. They're trying to shop him around. Mm-hmm. When somebody comes into the system that doesn't work, they're not quick. They still give him a shot. They were very quick with Daniel Sprong, but they gave a little bit longer of a leash to a guy like Andre Kuzmenko.
Yeah.
But I also think that that alignment does help too. Right. Like mm-hmm. you have to also have a system that works for you to put someone in there and test it out.
True.
But very either true. Way, I mean, like if you were to told me that we would be talking about the Canucks in this way when we first started the podcast back in 2022, I would have never believed you. So that's yeah. something that's very exciting to at least look forward to. But you hit it right on the nail when you said that the players that are coming up kind of up and down, a guy like Baines and I mean, Sasson, this is his first time that he's up and he's not going down anytime soon, it feels like. So it's nice to see that, right? It's nice to see that, especially in an environment where there's a lot of, testosterone, like we are here, pro steroids, Blazing Bucks podcast. There's a little bit heightened testosterone and, a lot of pride, man. A lot of these hockey players are prideful. And hey, fuck, man, that's probably what got them to the show in the first place. But if you can have some humility behind that, and I think that's what they're really preaching in the whole organization, not just the coaching staff.
Yeah.
So it's nice to see. But you're right. Bringing it back to fucking the reality of the situation is they have to get better at doing that consistently throughout the whole team.
Yeah, absolutely. So like speaking on that note, consistent. The only one thing I want to shout out for the Florida game that I have to say is fucking Kevin Lankinen, man, dude. I'm just so grateful that, and now that we know Demko's gotten his fucking legs back and shaking that rust off too.
Oh, yeah.
Fuck, we have a wicked tandem. Holy shit.
We don't have a wicked tandem. We have the tandem.
Yeah, literally. Yeah,
we have the tandem. It's I don't remember the last. This is the last time the Canucks had this. It was Luongo Schneider.
Yeah, this feels like, I was just about to mention, this feels like a Luongo Schneider type tandem. Awesome. Like, either goalie can steal the game. So thank you, Kevin Lankinen, for showing up and taking a pay cut. Anyways, but now when it comes to the consistency part, let's talk a little bit about the tough game. Fucking Boston. Boston can suck my nuts. Yeah. I don't give a fuck. I'll say this live.
Well, they kicked them on Saturday, so they cannot have to answer up to you.
Yeah, exactly. They kicked our nuts, so I'll tell them to go suck mine. But, man, you know, this is the thing that the team, I feel like I'm in a toxic relationship.
Yeah. How many times have we tried to like justify in our minds a loss or some shitty performance and it just keeps happening. So yeah, it's very similar to a toxic relationship.
It does. Cause forgive the yawn. It almost feels like we shit the bed when we should win. At home.
Yeah.
And we somehow do fucking solid when we're the underdogs at home.
We've talked about this time and time again. When the Canucks are the underdog team, they perform well. They perform above what we expect. Like, I'll be honest with you. I did not have high hopes for the game last night. I was almost watching like between my fingers like this, you know? I was just like, they play like that against Boston. How the fuck are they going to stop, you know, Rantanen, McKinnon, Makar? Lekkonen is fucking killing it this year. Yeah. And all the guys and everybody in, you know, Middlestad is Middlestad, but you can also talk about Ross Colton. And, you know, they picked up a different Tendi now, so it's not like you're playing against Forgiev either. You're also not playing against Demko. But, yeah, I mean, we could say Canucks had the better wood last night, that's for sure.
Oh, fuck yeah, man. They really did. But, no, yeah, in the end, I just hope that somehow throughout this season the Canucks can take what they've gotten from that Florida and Colorado game, and they're able to put whatever is going on that makes them have those type of Boston games behind, because, yeah, there's so much in this. Now, I definitely want to get into the woods, the main wood, the fucking wood, Kiefer fucking Sherwood. But before we do that, we need to get into our sponsors, our ad read here, and talk about the 2024-25 NHL season that still has that new car smell. I don't give a fuck. It is December, and it is wildin', and you can get in on all of that action at DraftKings Sportsbook, the official sports betting partner of the NHL. It is easy for first-timers to get started at DraftKings Sportsbook. You can try betting on something simple, like picking a team to win. And if you're new to DraftKings, listen up, because new customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets if your bet wins. So download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use the code THPN. That's code THPN for new customers to get $150 in bonus bets if your bet wins when you bet just $5. Only on DraftKings, the crown is yours. Boom. The gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY 467-369. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly. On behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort, Kansas, 21-plus age and eligibility varies by jurisdiction. Void in Ontario. Bet must win to receive reward. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. For additional terms and responsible gaming resources, see dkng.co/ice. Copyright NHL 2024, all rights reserved. Boom.
Wow, that was nicely done, my friend. Well, I don't know how I'm going to top it in my ad read here, but I'm going to take us over to our friends over at Game Time. You guys know what the best part about the NHL season starting is the fact that you can go to a live game, feel the chill of the ice, and hear that nice clap of a slap shot. Well, look no further than GameTime.co, the only ticketing app that gives you complete peace of mind with your purchase, where you can filter only incredible deals on great seats with Game Time picks. You can see the view from your seat on your phone before you buy, with all-in pricing showing your total cost up front. The best part about it, you can buy tickets in seconds with two taps, and it's not just sports tickets, guys. They also have concert tickets. They have a whole bunch of things that you can go to. If you wanted to go to Survivor Series, you could have bought them on Game Time. You could have saved $20 with us here. So many ways to save money on tickets no matter when you buy. Game Time Picks shows you only the best values on tickets, with last-minute deals on tickets right up to the start of the event and even an hour after it starts. Best time to buy tickets if you want to go that way. Exclusive flash deals and sponsored deals on tickets for football, basketball, baseball, concerts, comedy, theater, and more. Wonder what more is. Zone deals, where you pick the section and Game Time picks the seats for big savings. Game Time guarantee, you'll always get the best price. If you find tickets in the same section and row for less, Game Time will credit you 110% of the difference, so you're making money. Job loss assurance. If you lose your job and need a refund, Game Time has you covered. That's pretty fucking badass, guys. Like, what other age? Where else are you going to get that? That's unreal. Event cancellation protection. Automatic full refunds for events that are canceled and not rescheduled with a 24-hour guarantee, so you can return your tickets within 24 hours from time of purchase for a full credit to your Game Time account. No questions asked. Game Time loves their fans, and they're committed to ensuring you have an outstanding experience when you buy from Game Time. Their team is proud to offer the most flexible customer service in the ticketing industry, so you can rest assured they've got your back. Buy with confidence, knowing your purchase is covered with Game Time ticket coverage. So guys, take the guesswork out of buying tickets with Game Time Picks. Download the Game Time app, create an account, and use the code THPN for $20 off your first purchase. Terms apply. Again, create an account and redeem code THPN for $20 off. Download Game Time today. What time is it? Game Time.
Heyo. That was fucking sexy. Mint.
Mint.
Now.
It was actually parsley, but that works too.
Fuck parsley. Cilantro all the way. We'll have this debate. I'll die on this hill.
Fair enough. You die on that hill, bro. I'm not coming to save you.
I feel like that's such an Italian versus Spanish thing. Like, Italians like the parsley's in their shit, and then the Latinos are like, yeah, we like cilantro.
Yeah. I mean, don't get me wrong. I love cilantro, too. I put it in a lot of shit. But when I'm cooking, you know, the real Italian shit, parsley's going in there. So eat
absolutely. One. Well, fuck you, too. But now, speaking of mint, we got to talk about Kiefer fucking Sherwood and his performance. Not only just his performance, Kiefer Sherwood, period.
Yeah, just in general, man. Like, he has been, like, I'm willing to say he's the best free agent signing this offseason, not just by the Canucks.
Literally overall across the board. Yeah. 1.5 mil. A lot of teams passed on that.
A lot of teams passed on him in many different ways, right? This is also his third team.
Yeah, because
fourth team. You're absolutely right. Yeah, he had a very brief stint with the Avalanche, which is actually kind of funny that he got his first career hat trick against the Avalanche. Wow.
Absolutely, which, you know, it's written in the stars. Yeah, because it was the Avalanche first, then the Ducks, then Nashville, and then us here.
Actually, it was Ducks first, then Avalanche, then Predators, then us.
I'll just go fuck myself then. My bad.
Yeah, that's exactly what you should do.
But okay, let me say something here that I saw on Twitter that I think just will put into perspective how great Kiefer Sherwood's year is so far. If Kiefer Sherwood was still in Nashville, if Nashville chose to actually re-sign him, he would be leading the Nashville Predators in goals with 11 goals, in even strength goals with 10. He would be leading them in hits with 184, maybe more now at this point. He'd be leading them in game-winning goals with 3, and he'd be leading in the plus-minus amongst everybody with a +8.
Pretty crazy stat considering they have Steven Stamkos, Ryan O'Reilly, Philip Forsberg, Roman Josi,
Mark Schall, you know, like
exactly. I mean, Colton Sisson, I would expect, you know, Sherwood could have a chance to top him, but wow.
Yeah.
Like, what a farce by the Nashville Predators. Like, I understand they wanted to get some scoring because they felt like they needed it, but you know, Even you know, you look at over, you know, you guys know that I follow the Montreal Canadiens as well for my pops, but for one of the first things they said is like, we're looking for a forward with grit. Well, those guys you can't go to Costco to buy those guys to quote Jim Rutherford here. So I can't. Anyway, regardless, they gave him up. It's fucking their loss in our game, 100%. Okay. But he's just injected so much energy into this Canucks lineup, and at times he's been clutch. Like, he's been the clutch that we need.
Seriously. Sorry to cut you off, but yeah, like Rick Tocchet literally said in his post game that this guy brings the juice.
He does.
Brings the juice, buddy. Like, what?
100%.
For a coach to say that about a player, and we're in December, you can't teach someone how to bring the energy. I mean, maybe you can. You can help them show what it's like, but you can't really teach them to be fucking a wrecking ball right out the gate. I remember we said we wanted another Dakota Joshua after last year.
Yes.
We got one.
Yeah.
We should. It feels even better in a way.
It feels fantastic, especially the fact that like, I think they were talking about it on Halford and Brough, but they're, you know, obviously talking about a further extension for Kiefer Sherwood, which I am all for. But what they had said is he's the best in the NHL at something with hits. Like, yeah. You think about it. He's, what, I think they said he was 58 hits above second place.
Wow.
58 hits above. Like, you don't just catch up in a game.
Dude, you know, when you look at him, too, he does not look like the kind of player that would literally be throwing his body around left, right, and center. But he gets good hits in.
He does. I'd fucking hate to play against him.
Well, it's funny you say that because isn't that is the story behind Kiefer Sherwood, you know, yes. Canucks being familiar with him from Nashville round one, hating to play against him, only for that to be, all right, cool. That's the reason why we need to get him, right?
Yeah, and exactly.
Now he is beloved by the city. His face needs to be on a Canadian dollar bill at some point.
Yes.
I'm kidding.
Yes. No, I mean, hey, look, you know what? You never know. He is American, so it won't happen. But I love the idea. No. Fantastic. Fuck you. But to quote the great Jay Pritchett here, Kiefer Sherwood is the type of guy to go after Moby Dick and bring tartar sauce with him, knowing that he's going to go and fuck shit up. So that's how I feel about it. I
forgot about that line.
Yeah, right. I just watched it last night while I was trying to fall asleep. That's why it was fresh in my memory.
Beauty.
Me and my archives. But it's crazy to find a player that can really just play up and down the lineup like that too. Like, he went and played with Petey, but then he also can play on a fourth line checking role. But then he can also, you set him up for a shot in the slot and you can put it top right.
Yeah, I mean, he has actually a pretty solid shot.
The velocity that comes off of it is like top tier in the NHL.
Yeah, it's the snapshot. Like, he's got a quick snap, and it can come out of nowhere. I know that I can't remember the team it was against, but I know he had a goal where it was just like it came to him. He was right at center ice. He just did a quick fucking move forward and just boom. It felt like it was a laser going right in. I can't remember the team it was against. But, you know, the thing what I like a lot, too, is, like, I don't know if you saw Thatcher Demko's post-game.
I sure did. You could cross him off the don't be friends with list or something like that.
Don't be friends with list. And they're like, you know what? No, he's a good guy. But – like, that's what baffles me. A guy who on the ice is one of the biggest shit disturbers, is always fucking chippy, getting in people's faces, playing like he has nothing to lose. Nothing. Yeah. He doesn't care if he gets injured. Like, he plays in that type of style. But yet, when I listen to post-game interviews of Kiefer Sherwood, when you see these comments coming from Demko, we've heard comments, obviously, of Hughes, speaking of the fact that, like, he's a good guy. He's a very calm guy who, like, you know, brings good energy to the room, likes to engage in chats with people, and makes everyone feel good around themselves. And then on the ice, he's an absolute menace.
Yep.
What more do you want?
Common theme, though, because you can say the same thing about Brad Marchand.
I hate that we can say the same thing about Brad Marchand.
Sure, yeah, especially after Saturday's game. Absolutely. He's getting booed, and you can't do that to Marchand. You're going to do exactly what you're playing into his fucking hands. Anyway, yeah. Besides the point, this is my Italian rant for the day today.
Good. Give us more.
Are you fucking serious? No. Oh, you can't set me up like that, bro.
I have to, man. It's a fucking...
Yeah, it's too easy. You light the wick for me, man.
So, yeah, you were saying about, because bringing this back into Kiefer Sherwood and, you know, like, similarities of, like, players who, the common theme of menace on the ice, but they're such nice, good guys off the ice.
Totally. Totally. Thank you for bringing me back to my train of thought. I definitely lost it. The thing with that, though, is when he was starting out first, obviously he was back and he was kind of a tweener, right? His main, like, MO and his main game was his skill, right? No. Now, that didn't work out for him, so he had to adjust. So I feel like that's part of, at least in specifically in Kiefer Sherwood's case, because it's not like, you know, may he rest in peace, but it's not like he was a Rick Rippon and he was always a fighter the entire time or always like somebody just going around throwing his body. That's something that he had to adjust because he realized going out on just skill alone is not going to get him where he wants to go.
Yeah.
So I feel like he has the personality of kind of like, you know, like a snipe show, maybe not, I wouldn't say like a Cole Caulfield or, you know, someone as funny like that, but, you know, that brings a different sort of personality. Does that make sense? I don't know if I'm making any fucking sense with what I'm trying to say here.
No, it does, because to, like, at least reiterate and summarize, nobody in junior hockey or when they're making their journey to the big show is going there with the intention, unless, again, they're a Rick Rippon, they're a Matt Rempe, you know, like that's what they're mainly going to be known for, is fighting and bringing that edge. But beyond that, no one's ever going there to be like, yeah, I'm going to be a fucking fourth line grinder. Yeah, exactly. I'm going to be a third line forechecker. Yeah, I'm going to be that. No, you get to the show, you realize where your skills are actually at in the show, and then, like you mentioned, adapt. You got to figure something out. That is exactly what Kiefer Sherwood did. And, like, you know, it's funny that you mentioned that, because supposedly, like, I don't remember where I heard this, but, like, Kiefer Sherwood, when he was in the AHL at one point, I think it was I quickly just Googled it right now. 2021 season, it was with the Colorado Eagles. He scored an impressive 36 goals in 57 games.
So he has the ability to score. He has a nose for the net already to begin with, right?
Exactly. So, like, to know that he adapted his game to being a hitter, because I don't know about you, bro, but when we signed him, from what he was like in Nashville, because that's kind of when I noticed him and paid attention to him.
Me too.
He looked nothing more than a fourth line, maybe third line guy at best, that was just going to be there to be bring some edge, and that's it.
Yeah.
But this guy is way more than any of us could have imagined, really.
Except Satyar Shah. No, I'm kidding.
Maybe Satshaw. Satshaw has a fucking knack for, like, finding good things before people start to pick up on it.
Totally. Totally. That's the reason he is where he is, right? He's fantastic at that. But, I mean, you're absolutely right. Like, I don't even think Jim Rutherford and Patrick Alvin expected Sherwood to take to the team like this, which just goes to show, man. I mean, like, I know despite the Canucks up and down in the roller coaster season and what they're having this year, they're still a standout like that. There's still somebody who is improving their game, right? They're getting better as they're going along. And I know Brännström's been struggling the last few games, but he's a good example aside from the last few games, right? He's been progressing. Mm-hmm. Garland stepped up. He's a top six player now, right? He was playing with Miller and Besser, which, by the way, loved that line.
Yeah,
it worked. Loved really that well. Line. It worked. Excuse me. Worked really well, and it was nice to see Garland get a promotion too.
Big time.
Yeah, and it was great. So yeah, I mean, it's exciting to have a player like that on our side wearing the blue and green.
Yes, and it's nice to see that, at least for the fans that regularly go to the game, Kiefer Sherwood's name is chantable, or chantable in the way that the Canucks fan know how to chant it. I feel like it's the four syllables, right?
Yeah.
J.T. Miller, Connor, Garland. Yeah, Keith, right?
So, like, Thatcher, Demko, yeah, totally.
Yeah, the only thing, obviously, Pedersen and Hughes, we got to – I'm praying and hoping that the fan base finds a way to make a chant for them. I know there was the Let's Go Petey.
Let's Go Petey was one of them.
Yeah, Let's Go Petey.
Let's Go, that was a good one.
But I don't know what Quinn Hughes could be, because it's like – just, it's two syllables, right?
You can go Quinn Hughes, Quinn Hughes. I don't know.
Yeah, Quinn Hughes, or like the whole, like, da 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 da. Quinn Hughes.
Yeah,
right? Like, yeah. Fuck. We gotta do. Yeah, I don't know. Next time I go to a game, I'm gonna try that. I'll see if that. Yeah,
I would. Well, you gotta be in the lower bowl for it though, dude. So you're gonna, you know, fork up some soldi for that one.
Yeah, I guess so. I guess so. Or find some. Find some crack to sell. Who knows? I don't know.
I mean, that's an option too. Okay. Quickly before we wrap the show up here, I do want to talk about JT Miller as well.
Let's do it.
Nothing to do with, I mean, I'm going to respect his respect. Fuck. Respect his wishes.
Fucking idiot.
Fucking idiot. Okay. Fuck you. But anyway, he looked really engaged last night.
Dude, he had a wicked scoring chance eight seconds into the game.
8 seconds that he skated around McKinnon and took it to the net. Like, I was actually watching down here with my dad, and we just kind of looked at each other like, what? Like, wow. All right. Well, it's when Miller's on, and I mean, you know, he also, like, he had the matchup with McKinnon, Rantanen, and Lehkonen.
Yep, and you shut them down really well.
You shut them down. I mean, they didn't score, sure. But ultimately, that was kind of like when you talk about the Canucks in the playoffs last year, like what was the thing that the management staff wanted to update was their scoring. Well, what did we see in the playoffs, right? We saw Miller shut down McDavid and whatever top line, or Draisaitl or McDavid. Mm-hmm. Pettersson, I mean, Edmonton doesn't have too crazy a secondary scoring, but he can usually take care of that as well. It's the bottom half of the lineup that's going to be scoring the goals, really. They're going to get the kind of sheltered minutes. And when you have a bottom four with Sherwood, Joshua, and all these guys who can score the way that they can, or the way that they have been, I think it's going to make for hopefully a fun season. But the key is to do this night in and night out. It's nice to have urgency when you're, you know, hopped up and you got called out by your coach and you laid an egg at home, right? It's easy to get motivated for that when you're in the underdog, but how do you handle this going forward? Can you string a month together of this play? You know,
you consistently threaten the team with the potential of getting traded to the Buffalo Sabres. That's how you do it.
That's like the fucking, it's like the North America or NHL equivalent of like sending someone to Siberia. I feel like
fucking straight up to the gulag.
You go to gulag.
You look wrong.
You sacrifice your left testicle.
And in return, you give me one thumb. All right. But no, for reals though. It's nice to see that, they had the juice. Miller, Petey looked engaged too. I think there's a lot to like obviously wonder what could be the thing that's holding the team back from having these consistent performances and having just the energy night in, night out. Like, again, it's an 82 season. Doesn't mean there's no such thing I've heard of a team going fucking 82-0, especially with the way how certain weeks, some schedules can be wacky, right? You know, but with the Canucks, like, I'm glad to see Rick Tocchet had called them out. I honestly was really happy.
Yes.
It is good to know that. I know as poised and as reeled in as Tocchet is trying to be, because he knows the media. He knows what it's like. He's been on that side too with TNT. But, you know, to at least be able to calmly say, like, hey, we have about four or five fucking passengers. To know that, you know, we can speculate whoever we want, but we have a good idea of who these passengers can be.
And they know too.
And they know too, exactly, right? And then, yeah, with whatever that Millsy was going through with the personal leave coming back, just to see everybody get engaged in that Colorado game is nice. I just hope that, like I mentioned with my joke, that a threat to the fucking trade to Buffalo Sabres or anything on that, Spence, doesn't have to be pushed a lot for them to get going.
Yeah.
Like, I don't want them 2-3 games in, then they're back to being flat-footed and having another Boston Bruins or a New Jersey Devil or not. Like, you know, a game against the Islanders. The games where they've stunk, where they're just like, bro, what are you fucking doing on the ice right now? Why are you not? Where's your head at?
Well, and you know what? A perfect example of a team that's had to consistently do that is the Nashville Predators, right? Mm-hmm. Like, what did they have to do last year in order to kick the team in the ass? They had to cancel the U2 show, which, I mean, fuck, I'd be pissed at that too. And then they went on that heater, right? And now this year, Barry Trotz tried doing something similar with, you know, we're going to have to rebuild again. I mean, we all saw through that, right?
Everybody did.
But we all knew exactly what he was doing. But you squeeze that lemon so hard that there's no juice left.
Yep, that's true.
Right. Also, the juice left with Keith Sherwood, as Rick Tocchet said.
Dude, seriously. And, you know, I know right now that there's a lot of other teams out there with much more difficult situations than ours. I mean, yeah, Nashville, Buffalo. But I think for us, a lot of our situation and issues revolving around the team will get solved with on-ice play.
Yes.
We'll get solved with on-ice play and with consistency in the way that they show up. Even if they lose a game, if as long as you see them fucking showing up and doing everything with trying to like play and fight. Like, you know, if you see them sticking up for one another, like that's the shit we want to see. You want to see them. And even if they're dealing with a blowout, then fucking do something to spark shit up, man. Exactly. I see them coasting too much. And yeah, I think tomorrow, well, as we record the episode today on Tuesday, our listeners, you'll be hearing this the day after whatever our game, how it goes against
Utah.
And, but yeah, I just really hope that, well, we're on the road, so it's not like it's.
I was just going to say, like, we're on the road. They seem to play a lot more relaxed on the road. Yeah. And after, you know what, like, don't get me wrong, like, they played good against Florida. Like, they did shut them down. But didn't it feel like last night, like, they dominated? Like, they actually, like, took control of the game?
Well, that's literally what yesterday, yeah, you've hit the money bag right there. They controlled that game against the Avs. They showed up. They played a tight system. They were able to like get in the Avs' face. They were able to, you know, because that's the thing that Rick Tocchet was saying too. He's like, after that Boston game, he's like, these motherfuckers, to paraphrase them, these motherfuckers are constantly icing and not holding on to the puck when our game plan involves holding on to the puck and moving it, right?
Yeah. It's like we have plays to make, and I don't know why we're not making it. We're just choosing to go off the glass and out.
Exactly. You're making them in the third period when, like, that was supposed to be the plan from the get-go.
Yeah, no kidding.
So, yeah, like, what they did against Colorado was they controlled the puck. They controlled and moved it well. They only dumped and chased when they had to. But, yeah, to be honest, man, I don't know how consistent they're going to get or how long it'll take till they get that consistency. But I sure hope it strikes at the right time, which is, and it all starts gelling together, getting closer to playoff time.
Exactly. Because the truth is they need that. I mean, they really needed that win, first of all, last night, right? They definitely needed that, but they need to come together at that time because when they play like they did last night, and maybe I'd even say against Florida too, they're a contender. Especially when you consider that you have Demko, and they also did that without Hronek. And fucking Desharnais was in the lineup.
Yeah, I know. I didn't even realize. I can't believe that Desharnais got into the lineup for that. But yeah, it makes sense. Like
they're probably showcasing him because they want to dump him off. But regardless, all of that, very encouraging signs. I'm just hoping that, exactly like you, they can keep it consistent. They can string some wins together in this fashion, right? Not the kind of fashion where maybe they win with fucking 12 shots. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, I mean, we're hopeful, man. That's all we can be here. Hopeful, but, like, cautiously optimistic maybe is a better way to describe it.
I think so, at least for the average non-chaotic fucking bender of a fan that we're known to see in the Canucks fan base. But yeah, cautiously optimistic, ready to like fucking set the bar down for the roller coaster ride and get strapped in. And hopefully it takes us to a place where it doesn't fucking make us want to jump off the Patillo Bridge, you know?
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Exactly. I don't even want to be entertaining that idea anymore because I'm ready for the consistency to come back and I'm ready for the city to come alive in the playoffs.
Fucking right, brother. So am I. But I think this is a pretty solid time to wrap up the show here, Con. What you think, brother?
Yeah, man. I'm getting sick and fucking tired of looking at your face. So, yes.
Good one. Fuck you, but good
Fuck
one.
Fuck you. Well, with that being said, ladies and gentlemen, thank you for tuning in to episode 71 of the Blazing Pucks podcast. Victor, what kind of podcast is it?
It is the Canucks podcast you listen to when your kids are not fucking around.
Or when they're not around, not when they're not fucking around.
Those like, actually kind of work.
They kind of do. You know what? I take that comment back. Fuck you. But yeah, guys, if you like the podcast, please hit the subscribe button. Go on auto downloads. That's how we know you feel the love. Victor, what can they do if they really like the podcast?
Well, if you really like the podcast on Spotify or Apple Podcasts, where you listen to it, give the show a 5-star. We really appreciate that. Help us out and send this episode to a friend of yours, a fellow Canucks fan, or someone that you think would just get a laugh out of our stupid shit. And we really appreciate that. And as always, tune in every Thursday for your weekly Blazing Pucks episode with your two favorite BC buds right here, Carm in Blazing Pucks fashion.
Much love.
And go fuck yourself.